influential reggae artist who began releasing records in 1994. Opening the show will be Cat and Roots Revolution plus DJ Margot Hartenfeld. There will also be food and other refreshments. Again, that's Tanya Stevens in concert on Saturday, March 31st from 9 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. at the Tao Event Center, 631 Northeast Grand Avenue in Portland. This is an 18 and over show. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
As the life is much too quick for your hurry, and there's too many problems, so tell me, oh, why worry?
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Feet to the Fire campaign and protest on Friday, March 23rd, 10 a.m. at the Washington County Courthouse in Hillsboro, Oregon. The monthly Feet to Fire campaign is part of a national campaign started by Protect Our Stolen Treasures out of Detroit to hold district attorneys accountable for protecting us against police violence and hate crimes. This peaceful protest outside one of the county courthouses calls for justice for those lost to police violence and hate crimes. Again, that's Feet to the Fire campaign and protest on Friday, March 23rd, 10 a.m. at the Washington County Courthouse, 145 Northeast 2nd Avenue in Hillsboro, Oregon. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. This is Talking Earth. My name is Patrick Bocard, and I happen to be in the studio with two local filmmakers. And since they're not making sad movies, no more sad music. I'm in the studio with the mysterious, the name I'm going to mispronounce, Ceylon Anderson. I've only known him for 15 years.
It's my middle name, folks. That's why I can't pronounce it.
Yeah. And Chris Carrasco. Or did I butcher that too?
No, that's good, Chris Carrasco. Good evening, Patrick. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and the two of you are working on a new film, Shadow Over Portsmouth, which I am assuming is influenced by the work of H.P. Lovecraft.
Isn't this a conflict of interest? Don't you have a bit part in it?
Yes, it's complete conflict of interest. I don't know how you actually finagled the spot here. This is complete nepotism. It is.
Now it can be told, Fab Portland listeners.
Yes, it's sad. This is how you get on Talking Earth. You make a film and have Patrick Bocard or Walt Curtis in it.
So what's the movie about?
I don't know. You're making it. Chris, aren't you supposed to be interviewing us? I thought that was how it was going to go.
Well, I can take over if this is going to collapse completely tonight, but I think you're doing a good job so far, Patrick.
Destroying everything?
Yeah. Well, I'll say
I should have been the star in this film.
There's still time, Patrick. No. So let's talk about this movie and what inspired it. Neil, you wrote this a couple of years ago, is that right?
Well, it was born, like everything worthwhile in life, out of unrequited love and hopeless alcoholism and an unquenchable thirst to make the world a better place.
Okay. But what distinguishes this from your other work?
Well, the title is A Shadow Over Portsmouth. It is a horror comedy set in the mythos of H.P. Lovecraft. We're hoping to get it accepted into the H.P. Lovecraft Fest this fall. We'll see if that actually happens, so keeping our fingers crossed.
Well, Neil, Ceylon, excuse me. What are the major themes in this movie?
Feminism.
I would agree.
Is that so? I kind of doubt that.
Yeah, no, people are surprised by this, but we have a very strong female lead in this movie, and we want to promote that.
That's good. That's good.
There's a very dramatic scene where, you know, she's smoking a cigarette, and she says, between the patriarchy on one side and the elder gods on the other, it's tough to be a woman in this town.
Okay, cool. All right, I can see that. I don't remember that being in the script, but you didn't show me the last version of it, so that's possible.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, it's also, in addition to being a feminist movie, it's a film noir, it's a comedy, and it's in the H.P. Lovecraft universe. And maybe one of several movies down the road that'll be in the same universe.
So is it also influenced by both of your day jobs?
Oh, partly, yes.
There's a trial scene.
Yeah, so there is some attorney work in it too.
Well, it's a criminal investigation. That's how the movie focuses on that. I mean, that's the central plot point: is murder and subsequent investigation and trial.
And we have not yet cast the judge for that scene. So if you're the lucky 10th caller tonight, you can be the judge.
And we do have people calling up, but we are not giving out the number. We already gave out the number to the people you want to be in the movie, correct?
What's the number?
Let's see the quality of the calls, and then we can decide on whether or not we want to give out the number. How about that?
Okay, yes. I'm going to go to another question now.
Sure.
So, Ceylon, I'm butchering her name again. Why make another movie? Wasn't the Warriors, another film I can't pronounce, the Warriors... the one you made with me, enough trouble for you? Didn't I drive you enough crazy enough already?
To give the background to those of you who are listening or are hopelessly confused, about 8 years ago, Patrick and I wrote a screenplay together, a parody of the 1979 Walter Hill classic, The Warriors. Our movie was titled The Warriors, and it was about roving poetry gangs in Portland.
Who had problems with geography.
And, it took 8 years before, you know, I mean, it was like trying to follow Citizen Kane, you know? You just...
there was a lot of hype around the movie.
Or Plan 9 from Outer Space, one or the other.
Well, you know, you could say that, but there was a lot of buzz. It took about 8 years for things to quiet down, for Neil to gather himself. And
Beat Ceylon.
correct.
The film circuit was pretty grueling. I think there's still a warrant out for me in the Rust Belt.
Or on YouTube. Another question I do have, and we will probably give out the number soon. We are supposed to have a couple callers. I'm also going to be playing a couple new pieces from John Dooley, who has a new album coming out on April 1st. And I was kind of impressed by it. But my next question is about how are you filming the actual star of Shadow Over Portsmouth? Because I've heard... from having read the script, I heard some really interesting things about how you're going to actually do this. It's pretty hard to film something that drives people nuts when they watch it, correct?
Well, there's many concerns. There's artistic concerns and there's budgetary concerns. Actually, you can leave out the first concern, I guess.
So artistic stuff has nothing to do with this at all?
Budgetary concerns are... Big on the list, yes.
Well, that end, you know, H.P. Lovecraft has been focused around suspense and mystery, and we don't want to give away too much.
And not showing the monster for...
Yeah, yeah.
Till, like, the last second.
Yeah, it's kind of Val Luton-esque, if you think about it that way.
Yeah. So we have calls coming in to interrupt me, so Chris, you're going to have to continue the interview.
Okay. So, Ceylon... in deciding on how to cast people, what was your criteria?
If they were part of my immediate circle of friends or coworkers.
Yeah, we had a conversation about that, about whether we wanted to get traditional actors. Okay, and we decided against more authentic folks working in the criminal justice field.
Yeah, and, you know, I think acting is the most overrated art. I mean... Take Meryl Streep. I mean, she's won a lot of Oscars, but are the movies she makes actually fun to watch?
You know, that's a very good point, Neil.
I don't know if I agree with you on that one. I got a question. Do either of you know our next caller, Vec?
No, I never heard of
him. All right, so we're, you know, perhaps it will be starring in your film.
There are no strangers, just friends we haven't met yet, Patrick.
Yes. Vec, you are a friend we haven't met yet. Vec, are you there? What is going on here? Hang on.
We lost a caller? What have you done with him?
it's very Lovecraftian of me, isn't it? Vec, are you there?
Caller down.
Caller down. Caller down. So we are taking phone calls. The number is 503-281-8187. If you want to grill us on the film, have any questions for us about The Shadow Over Portsmouth, questions about Lovecraft, probably don't want to get too esoteric. Oh, we have another phone call. Maybe someone wants to insult Lovecraft. Awesome.
So, Chris, you acted in The Warriors, but you're not acting in Shadow Over Portsmouth.
That's true. I'm doing most of my work behind the camera. In fact, I'm the director of photography, so I'm just doing the entire filming. And this film is entirely filmed on a iPad Mini 4. We decided to use more modern technology as opposed to traditional cameras that were used in The Warriors last time. But there's still some time for perhaps a cameo. I guess the audience will just have to wait and see.
Okay, so actually our caller is Zach, and are you there, Zach, or are you on the other line?
Maybe. I am here. Can you guys hear me?
Okay, yeah. We got a minor problem. I'm going to switch you over to the other line. Hang on 1 second. Guys, keep talking. I'm going to try to save him from where he is.
Okay, I guess there's too many callers. Or just
no, it's just Lovecraft is... You know, doesn't like me insulting him.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
that's all it is. Zach, are you there?
I am. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Thank God. We thought we'd lost you, Zach.
Thought you lost you the abyss out there.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a big fan of the two filmmakers you have on this evening.
Well, thank you, Zach. We get that a lot, but thank you.
Really? Well, I have a more technical question. My understanding is there's supposed to be some type of monster in this movie, correct?
Yes, that's what the rumors have been.
Well, okay. Of course, the monster is inside all of us when you think about it that way.
That's also true.
Okay.
I suppose my cinematic question is how do you plan on filming the monster scenes, particularly in a courtroom or on the budget you have to make this movie?
Well, the most important step is not telling the courtroom staff what we're doing ahead of time. That way we have the thrill of discovery. We share the thrill of discovery rather than just jealously keeping it to ourselves.
Isn't that how discovery is supposed to work in a trial?
A more direct answer to your question would be either CGI, form of latex or other sort of substance. Or just fancy editing that the audience won't know the difference.
I thought it was going to be a paper bag.
Don't spoil it.
Well, gentlemen, when can we expect this movie to be released?
Very good question. we're expecting to debut it at this coming H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival here in Portland.
Assuming the suits go for it.
Is that in the suits? The latex suits? but wait a second. Is that the Lovecraft Festival in October or the one in April?
October.
Not the one in April.
Yeah, then after we debut it there, we premiere it, we're expecting a lot of buzz, so we're probably going to be touring for a while with the film. So I've already taken some time off of work to do that.
And sure next November?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to miss the election, too.
That's fine.
Okay. Zach, do you have any more questions for us?
No, those are my questions. Thank you, gentlemen. Look forward to seeing the movie.
Awesome. Thank you. Do you want to actually be in it?
I am a budding actor myself. Is there a spot open for folks that want to play in the movie?
Well, we promised the judge to the 10th caller, and you're only the second. But if you call 8 more times, maybe we can work something out.
He was also the first caller as well. Yes, we might have to just let you be the judge.
Yeah, I can call back 8 more times.
Personally,
well, Zach, rules are rules. So
personally, Zach, I'd prefer you didn't just call back another 8 times. Although, you know, I'll have to, when I think you're still on the other one. That's, yeah, it's, I don't know if this is a Cronenberg or a Lovecraftian thing, but
all right, well, thank you for your interest, Zach.
Thanks for taking the call.
All right, yeah, thanks for coming on the air. Thanks for asking us questions.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you. Bye.
Cool. So Ceylon, you also have another project you're working on with me as well.
Man, what are the odds?
although I might add that I probably have a little more to do with this one. So I did drop off Record Store Clerk 1 and number 2, number 1 and number 2 to Skip and Samsel today.
I think I might as well, you know, jump into the bottomless pit of self-promotion at this point and explain that we're talking about Record Store Collector, a comic, self-published comic book zine, which you can publish or purchase at either Powell's Books, thanks to Patrick, or...
I have to change that. I gave it to Kevin Samsel at Powell's. Doesn't mean he's selling it. I mean, I'm hoping he'll decide that they take it.
Okay, so it's the jury is still out, as they say.
Yes, the jury is still out for Record Store Clerk 1 and 2.
You can't.
He might like number 3, though.
You can purchase the third and most recent issue at Future Dreams, which is just a stone's throw away. Patrick writes it based on his experiences working at a record store. I draw it. I also help a bit with the writing.
Yeah, you rewrite a lot, actually. You clean it up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look at what I was given. I mean,
yeah, well, considering I also write fiction, but none of that stuff gets published, so I should be very happy about this. but there are some pretty funny things. I actually like there's something in 3 I'm very proud of, but I'm not going to talk too much about it. We have another caller. Hang on.
We do.
Okay, boo.
We have another caller. The suspense is killing us, folks.
Hang on a second. I'm going to have to clear. All right. Now, the number is 503-231-8187 if someone wants to call in. I am sorry about that. Oh, someone's calling in. Awesome.
Okay, boo.
We're losing callers, but they keep coming back, folks.
All right, cool. Let me...
Radio, it is this easy.
No, it's not.
All right, so we have a caller coming in, Patrick?
Yes. I believe she's online, too. There she is.
Hello.
Hi, and your name is?
My name's Lauren.
Lauren, do you have any questions for our for Chris and Ceylon?
My conflict of interest radar is going off again.
So we have a member of our female audience on the phone. Lauren, how can we help you?
I'd really like to hear more about feminism as a theme in this movie.
Oh, thank you for asking. I was waiting for someone to. We thought early on that we should have a strong female role in the movie, not just because of the sign of the times, but just also because Neil and I personally believe strongly in the feminist movement, and we wanted to make a film with that on the forefront. So we cast a female as the district attorney in the movie who's taking lead of the investigation and has taken charge of the two, I wouldn't say bumbling, but not necessarily
ineffectual,
competent investigators in this. So it's really take charge character in this movie. What do you think, Neil?
Well, I mean, every morning I wake up thinking, what can I do to empower women? And I've spent a lifetime asking myself that question, and this is it. Making Shadow Over Portsmouth was a strong, empowered female character.
So, Lauren, let me ask you, are you and your girlfriends waiting for this movie to come out?
We're so excited. We've been waiting since The Warriors.
Oh, my God, that's a long time.
All me and my girlfriends are so excited.
8 years?
That's a long 8 years,
yes.
Lauren.
Or since 1979.
Well, it'll be worth the wait. I guarantee that personally.
Thank you so much.
That's a bold statement, Chris.
Well, it's a bold movie, Patrick.
And since you asked about feminism, Warren, would you be interested in playing the judge?
No, I don't know about that.
Why not? You don't think a woman could be a judge? Women can be anything they want to be, Lauren.
You don't want to challenge Neil's feminism, Lauren. I'm sorry.
So wait a second. She knows your secret name. Okay. Is she a ringer?
I have to apologize for the caller and for Mr. Ceylon Anderson. He gets a little bit impassioned whenever someone challenges his feminism.
I just don't know any other way.
So, Lauren, do you have any other questions?
I think that just about covers it.
Okay.
So very excited to see the film.
Excited to see the film.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren. Thanks for your
interest. Chris, I wanted to ask you, are you the director on this, or are you just the cameraman?
I would say I'm a co-director, director of photography, executive producer, script doctor, casting agent, and there are a couple of blank lines under that have yet to be filled.
Okay, but all around, like, technical expert, basically.
Yeah, I do the most of the grunt work of filming, and Neil and I collaborate on just how is this going to go from paper onto screen.
Yeah, that about covers it.
Okay, all right.
I tell Chris, do this, do this, do that.
Ceylon. Do you have a poem you were going to read or a portion of the script?
That's the most passive-aggressive thing you've said to me in the last 5 minutes, Patrick.
Only 5 minutes?
Yes. I'm sure longtime listeners of Talking Earth are aware that Patrick Bocard is himself a poet of no small talent. And he wrote a poem called Cthulhu's in My Coffee.
Oh, no, you're reading that?
About 13 years ago, the slacker I am can't make it to the H.P. Lovecraft Festival on time, tentacles, sexaholics galore.
Hey, if you're going to read that whole thing, I'm going to bleep you. I disown that piece of, and I'm not saying the rest of it.
Anyways, for those of you who... still need yet another reason to see Shadow Over Portsmouth, the excitement of seeing Patrick Bocard recite his own poem in the movie.
Only part of it.
Only part of it.
Yes, because I disown the rest of it.
Should be more than enough to whet your appetites out there, fab listeners.
The Cthulhu's in my coffee, Cthulhu's in my coffee, I bet you think this poem's about you is okay, but the rest of it, yikes. I was in a bad spot.
So... I have a question for Chris.
Yes.
Chris, do you have an ideal image of what this movie will be like when it's finished? Because I understand you're still filming.
Oh, yes. The movie is about halfway through filming. It's still malleable. I'm reluctant to talk about the ideal image because I don't want to give away too much for our audience. But I'm thinking part film noir, part 1980s Sledgehammer, the TV series, and...
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
Yes, exactly.
A classic.
Yes, with, of course, more of a feminism turn than a masculine turn. Do we have another caller, Patrick?
We do. I actually wasn't able to speak on air for a second. Caller, are you there?
I am, yes.
Awesome. What's your name?
My name is Chris.
What? Repeat that. I'm sorry. My hearing's bad sometimes.
Chris.
Okay. I have too many Metallica concerts in my past. Yes. And Cthulhu and my coffee and all the rest of that. Did you have any questions for Ceylon and Chris?
Wanted to ask Ceylon about the actual origins of the script and the rumors on the street, of course, are that he had simply purchased that from a sea captain down by the port, and he didn't actually write any of it himself.
Yeah, I don't know where these rumors come forward. I mean, the script was written solely by myself, and any rumors that I was assisted by a Chris O'Connor or a Christian Kaler or a Nick Bonichson are completely, totally false. And
Sylvan, I may have to cut you off here. I think we're talking about too much. We should go on to the next caller.
Why are we cutting him off? This seemed like a really juicy question here. Chris, are
you
there?
Well, people just like to talk. You know, you see, you know, lawsuits over the, you know, credits and stuff flying around, and, you know, people just wonder.
Yeah, so wait a second. Someone's going to sue a bunch of defense attorneys for a movie that's going to make no money.
Yeah, it's all for the credit, of course, Patrick.
Wait, we're not making any money?
Well, it's not, the Warriors didn't make any money. No one sued us over that. Well,
you didn't make any money off of
it. Oh, I see how it is. I'd still lose the lawsuit.
This is a pioneering movie on several fronts, but also because we started a crowdfunding legal defense fund before we started filming, anticipating these sorts of issues.
The most pioneering part of it is...
We do have another caller, too, though, but...
All you listeners out there, that was Chris O'Connor, one of the co-authors. Thanks for calling, Chris.
Oh, he's caller, are you there?
Yes.
Awesome. And your name is?
Angie.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of your first movie, The Warriors, and my question is, your new movie is so different. What inspired you, and also, like, who did the writing?
Angie, let me whisper in your ear. Does anyone ever say that to you?
All right, now settle down.
Ceylon, settle down. I believe Ceylon wrote this one, didn't he?
I think he wrote it by himself, didn't he?
Didn't Chris O'Connor just call up to...
Yeah, I wrote it with some drinking buddies at Beulah Land several years ago.
Okay.
And Chris was the one who saw the acorn and imagined the tree it could become. Right, Chris?
Oh, yes. In fact, I was sitting at the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival this past year looking at the short films. I'm like, these films are pretty horrible. We can do something just like it.
They're laughing because I was reaching for the button that you push when someone says something bad.
Yes.
We were all thinking it just didn't go over the air.
That's how it was inspired, between Neil's writing for no particular purpose and my inspiration to get my name on screen somewhere, and just to, you know, for the fun of making a movie.
Well, great. I look forward to watching.
Thank you. Thank you, Angie.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Bye.
So, the add to the chaos, we were supposed to get finished around now. Walt Curtis is waiting patiently to come in here.
He's standing outside the door.
I see him pacing.
Is he outside the door? Like, yes, he is. He's walking
in.
In
the wings.
Here he comes.
We can segue with these people.
Oh, I got a segue, actually.
Portland.
Thank you, Portland.
I got an awesome segue, actually.
I'm a treasure like a penny is a treasure.
I got a segue. I'm working on it right now. Hopefully I don't botch everything like I kept messing up the,
Oh, come on.
This is great.
Yeah, oh, come on. Exactly. You guys aren't done yet.
We're not done. Finish him out. There's no hurry.
This is great radio.
Patrick, we're not interested in hurry.
No, we're not. We're going to take a little break here, and maybe I'll get them to stay.
I'll put some music on that I have.
Oh, but I have some music.
Oh, you have music.
Yeah, it's from John Dooley.
Don't touch that dial, listeners. Music is coming.
Let's not. I thought it was. Wow. Chaos. Why is this not playing?
Are we cutting in John Dooley's time?
Okay. No, John Dooley's cutting into. Well, actually, I know what's going on right there.
We can take more calls.
We could, but the phone lines are blocked at the moment.
Why is that?
It's complete chaos in here. But this is John Dooley with John Dooley and his I don't know if he does the music himself. He does. If he does, it's pretty awesome.
Patrick?
Hopefully, yes.
Make it work.
Oh, no. No, apparently I can't make it work. Why is going on?
Did you guys get a copy of this?
No, I haven't.
So, yes, talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. There's John Dooley.
Jack isn't allowed people food. He's on a special needs diet because he's a special needs dog. No scraps from the table, no potato chip Olympics bounding on couch, no begging, no borrowing, no stealing, appropriating, or possessing non-approved foods. The following items are banned and considered contraband. First and foremost, no chicken bones. Bone shards might lodge in, block, pierce, and/or prick his tender pink esophageal membranes. This would preclude his attending and exclude him from soloing at the Howler Guild Canine Glee Club's biannual Dog Park Choral rendition of Song of Moses. Jack's been working on his routine for years. Rehearsal is everything. Not even a special needs dog gets a day off. That's it, Jack. Sip your tea. I blew kisses on it to cool it down. Ordinary kibbles and bits are grounds for expulsions and fits. The good stuff costs $500 a day. I can barely keep the lights on. Jack's meals are prepared freshly by culinary courier Chef Charlemagne, served in a gilded cut glass decanter containing Japanese Wagyu beef, blue jasmine rice, and sea otter caviar, with a hint of chilled mint jelly to freshen his sensitive palate, just the way Jack likes it. The experience radiates with a Waterford Crystal lapping spoon you can stick in a candle later to help brighten the room. No kibbe, no kiwis, kale, kebabs, ginger ale, no scrapple, waffles, apples, or strawberry snapples. No dairy, no prairie dogs, no farmed fish, shellfish, bugs, slugs, or cephalopods. No hats, rats, dust bunnies, bowls of keys, things found at the lake, ferrets, fajitas, or carrot cake. Armadillos, no sir and no ma'am, no armadillo ham. They're squirmy and oozing with leprosy, which I consider to be a byproduct. No byproducts will be tolerated. These include, but are not limited to, bone meal, meat meal, grain meal, worm meal, oatmeal, cereals, no rendered fats or fendered cats, salt, soy, cellulose, no animal, mineral, or vegetable oil, shrimp boil, vomit soil, no walnuts, grape nuts, coconuts, beer nuts, deez nuts, roadkill, or bear guts. No pets, snakes, spiders, parrots, lovebirds, leghorns, or chickadees. No gerbils, turtles, liverwurst, tube steaks, wiener pigs, whirligigs, Newton figs, and no cauliflower. Please, it makes him toot. No MSG, propylene glycol, nitrates, nitrites, neurons, neutrons, or secondhand electronics. No corn, corn syrup, no cobs, no kernels, no popping, and none of that creamy canned stuff either. I don't know what adjunct that coagulant is, but it isn't cream. No natural or artificial colors or dyes. Blue number 2, red 40, yellows 5 and 6, plain white rice, black berries, Bing cherries, red pepper, gold fish, oranges rhyme with tangerines, green beans, yellow squash, red onion, purple potatoes, or rainbow chard. It's a limited diet, healthy, natural ingredients, because I love him and he's a special needs dog. But I'm starving. I'm so hungry I could eat half a special needs dog right now, and not the Wagyu half.
So that's John Dooley from his upcoming release, Oral Foibles to The Jacketing.